God commands us to let his word dwell in us richly in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're to worship him musically. We're to proclaim his word musically. And so we want to train up our students, our children, to be able to sing skillfully with music, to understand what they're doing. Bible says sing with understanding. But it's all couched in studying God's word, growing up as Christian worshipers. Sometimes I know people are a little scared of music camp because maybe they're not a musical family, but it's for everybody. It's a mix of real beginners and more advanced students, and they help one another that way.
But the thing that really gives it weight and glory is that the whole week is focused towards a concert, a glorious presentation of the music we've been working on all week long. So there's this goal in mind. There's something that the students not just participate in, but actively create.
I'll see students who come in who have had no musical experience. You can tell they're overwhelmed by first day. They're just awed by it because they've been part of something that is new to them and much larger than them, something they've not experienced before. And I would say the majority of times, those kinds of students come back because they've tasted something that's really glorious, a foretaste of heaven.
These students are learning through the course of their time at music camp not to be music consumers, but to be active participants in making music. So not only to learn how to sing well, how to understand music as it's written on a page, and how it comes together in a group environment, but to be able to take those experiences and have them be the seeds that are planted for their involvement, their whole life, in the musical life of the church. We want these students to be the next wave of worshipers in the church who know how to sing to God.
Hi, I'm Robert Borton, CEO of Classical Conversations, the world's largest classical Christian homeschooling community. I'm launching a new podcast, Refining Rhetoric. If you like cross politics or just listen to hear what crazy stuff they're saying today, you will enjoy Refining Rhetoric. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform. I practice the 15 tools of learning by interviewing great guests, looking at current events, and talking about cryptocurrency.
Hey y'all, welcome to Cross Politic. Writ of Mandamus?
Hey, no, no cuss.
It's not a cuss word.
This is a family show.
You're going to have to find out.
It was.
You have to stick around and find out. Pastor Toby, our good brother Chuck Knox back in the studio.
Was that gone?
Yeah, you were. Oh. Monday last week, but yeah, you actually did make it last week. I should have remembered that.
You left us so much, and now it just
Gabe
feels,
doesn't even know.
Just feels like you're always gone.
Here? Surprise!
I'm confused.
That's funny.
New St. Andrews College. Today's culture shifts like sand, but New St. Andrews College is established on Christ, the immovable rock. The college is a premier institution that forges evangelical leaders who don't fear or hate the world. Guided by God's word, equipped with the genius of classical liberal arts and God-honoring wisdom, with a faculty dedicated to academic rigor and to God's kingdom, New St. Andrews College offers an education that frees people. Logic and language, hard work and joyful courage, old books and godly professors, New St. Andrews College provides time-tested resources that can equip your students for any vocation. Find out more today. Visit nsa.edu. That's NSA.edu.
You know, Columbia University right now is writing an ad for NSA, like in real life.
What?
Right now.
I guess that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Almost all the colleges are.
They're writing an ad for NSA right now.
They didn't know that they're promoting New St. Andrews College, but
that's right.
All those encampments and tents.
It's writing its ad itself.
Yeah,
it's like AI for NSA.
That's true.
That is great. Hey, we're grateful to have with us Dr. Joseph Sansone is a psychotherapist opposed to psychopathic authoritarianism. That may be one of my favorite bios I've ever read.
That is awesome.
Dr. Sansone, thanks for joining us on Cross Politic.
Does kind of cover everything, doesn't it, though?
So we recently had Karen Kingston on the show to discuss her work that supported your work, your writ of mandamus that you pushed forward in the state of Florida. Can you help catch up our audience with what you are working on?
Mandamus, Mandamus. I've heard it both ways. So, yeah, but before we dive into that, I just want to share some really good news. So, Bermudas started in about May of 2021, but finally we got like the first ban to jab resolution passed in our county Republican Party down here in Florida in February of 2023. It declared the COVID injections to be biological and technological weapons, called on the governor to prohibit them, the attorney general to confiscate them, and conduct a forensic analysis. We got 10 counties in Florida, Republican Party counties, to pass that.
Wow.
We've got counties in South Carolina, North Carolina, Oregon, Idaho. The Idaho Republican Party passed that resolution. But recently, I reached out to a friend of mine, Dan Schultz from PrecinctStrategy.com. And I got him to submit the ban to jab resolution in Arizona, and it passed the Maricopa County Republican Party there, which is the biggest Republican county in the country. But the Arizona Republican Party passed this same resolution last week, declaring these injections to be biological and technological weapons and calling for their prohibition. And so that's important because it's not just me saying it, one person, it's an official statement by a state party. So right now we've got two Republican state parties, or let me say it the other way. We've got 47 Republican state parties that apparently are in favor of genocide, and 50 state Democratic parties are okay with it. But so we're working on it. And so, yeah, we've been working on that. What happened with me was, and just interrupt me because I talk, but what happened to me was in January, the Florida Department of Health called for these shots to be halted in Florida. And so Dr. Latipos went as far as saying that these are the antichrist of drugs. And on the official bulletin, it says that these are a threat to the human genome. What happened was, is I went to one of our county parties here. I figured, let me get another resolution passed because we're getting a lot of pressure from the top down to stop these resolutions because they do make a difference in the minds of people. And what happened was, is long story short, the chairman did a rope-a-dope on me, and we never were able to present it in that county. Now, I just heard, like, this guy actually died suddenly last week, and now that, and so maybe it was cognitive dissonance why I didn't want to come up, but, yeah, so that's a terrible thing, and that's why we're doing this, just so that kind of thing stops. But, so I was already thinking about doing this writ of mandamus, and I kind of had it in the works, but that kind of put me over the edge, so I went forward with it. So I reached out to Karen and asked her if I could use her research for the facts of the case portion of this. So on February 3rd, I filed a writ of mandamus with the Florida Supreme Court. Mandamus literally means we command in Latin. And what I'm doing is I'm seeking to get the court to compel the governor to prohibit the distribution of these weapons of mass destruction and to have the attorney general confiscate the vials and conduct a forensic analysis. The Supreme Court, now we have, it's in our state constitution, there's concurrent jurisdiction between the Supreme Court, the appellate courts, and the circuit courts, which is your trial courts. The Supreme Court used its discretion, kicked it to the trial court on, I think it was like March 20th. On March 9th, the circuit court dismissed the case. I filed a motion for reconsideration, was dismissed, and I filed a motion for rehearing, which was dismissed. And then what happened was I recently just filed a notice of appeal. So now we're going to go to the appellate court. But in my motion for rehearing, well, let me back up. So the judge basically said that you cannot use a mandamus to, you can only use it for a ministerial duty. So like, let's say that would mean like if the governor has to fill a vacancy within 60 days and he doesn't do it, you can force him to do it, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But, and also you can't tell them the manner of how they do it. So, but in my motion for rehearing, I cite the case law, which shows that you can compel a writ of, you know, you can use a mandamus to compel a duty if it's an abuse of that discretionary duty. And I also get, I use the Supreme Court of Florida's case law talking about what's literally dealing with mandamuses, what's the threshold for a competent substantial evidence. So we well exceeded that. And I also included their case law showing that you can use mandamus relief to protect constitutional rights. And in the case of Florida, they literally took the Declaration of Independence and codified it in our Constitution. Like it talks about protecting life and the right to enjoy life in our basic rights section of our Constitution.
So Dr. Sansone, I got a question specifically about kind of getting into that world. why are you definitionally putting the vaccine into a bioweapon category? No other
Let me cycle back to that. Let me just hit the last point on the law here, and we will talk about that, because we provide so much evidence, it's silly. I found case law which showed the Florida as well as U.S. Supreme Court using mandamus release to protect constitutional rights. They've done it to protect the right to trial by jury, the right to speedy trial, as well as segregation. Like a black guy going to law school literally used a mandamus to compel them to allow him into law school. So this isn't just ministerial duties. You can use it to protect constitutional rights. I'm going to say, because people are dying because they're not enforcing the laws, that's you're violating your constitutional rights. Yeah. Now, the laws we cite in there are the state and federal biological weapons laws, state and federal treasons laws, state and federal domestic terrorism laws, murder laws, the adulterated product law, as well as the fraud law, and even accessory after the fact. Because if you allow a crime to continue and you shield someone for prosecution, you're now an accessory after the fact. So to answer your question, there's plenty of medical and scientific experts that will tell you that these are weapons of mass destruction. Dr. Francis Boyle, the Harvard-educated law professor, he wrote the International Treaty on Terrorism, which ended up becoming the 1989 Biological Weapons and Anti-Terrorism Act, which passed both houses of Congress in 1989 and was signed by the president and endorsed by the Department of Justice. Last April, I unexpectedly, on April 1st of all things, woke up in congestive heart failure. Oh. So long story short, I was in the hospital. I had triple bypass heart surgery, cracked my heart open, put it on a pump. You know, I had my lungs intubated. But while I was in the hospital awaiting my surgery, I got Dr. Francis Boyle to endorse that Banda Jab resolution. And he puts it in writing that these are offensive biological weapons. So according to the world's leading legal expert on biological weapons, these meet the legal criteria, biological weapons, according to state and federal law. And I gave him Florida's law, and he agreed that they met it. So because these and in that document, if you read through that mandamus, we've got so much evidence there that Karen compiled. These are nanoparticle weapons, and we don't even know what the payload is in the shots. Now, the doctors that I speak to that literally treat thousands of patients, like Dr. Avila, she's in the Villages here in Florida, which is like the largest senior community in the country. She's treating 3,500 quote unquote vaccine injured patients. She's told me, as of other doctors like Dr. Ben Marble, who's the Nobel Prize nominee, she told me that everybody that got the shot has an autoimmune disease now as a result from what she's seeing. Wow. And now we don't know how that's going to play out in the future. But to give an example, I have type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. The lifespan on average with someone with type 1 diabetes is 15 years less than everybody else. Mm-hmm. So if you're giving people an autoimmune disease, we don't even know how fast it'll progress. But 10 years from now, some of those people aren't going to be here. I don't know how many. And so you're lowering birth rates because the ingredients get into the testes and the ovaries. You're killing off the old people. You're giving people turbo cancers, heart diseases, and so on. What could we possibly call this other than a weapon of mass destruction?
So Dr. Sansone, why, I'm just thinking about the logic behind this. Why would a government do this to its own people?
You could go right into the UN documents. This is about depopulation. Just read all this Huxley's Brave New World and read the first 3-4 chapters. You'll see exactly what's going on right now. Apparently, these psychopathic authoritarians don't want us useless food eaters around, I guess. I mean, they're openly talking about getting rid of agriculture and having to eat bugs. I know it's hard to conceive of people this evil, but why would the Nazis murder their slave labor force in World War II? They were sick and twisted.
Dr. Sansone,
with the Holocaust. Go ahead.
Earlier you mentioned, as you've been trying to pass this ban the jab statement in these Republican counties, that you've been getting pressure from people above you, higher ups, to try to suppress that. I'm wondering, in Florida, I mean, you've got DeSantis. DeSantis has been one of the more outspoken Republican governors on healthcare freedom and so forth. Have you been able to? I mean, are you saying you're getting pressure from him or his administration, or have you had any opportunity to talk with him?
I get it. What I'm saying is, it appears that the state party is playing cover for him. They're upset with the governor in Arizona. We got this passed with 95% of the vote. So The reality is this, though. The Florida Department of Health and the Surgeon General has called for these to come off the market. I'm in litigation with the governor right now to get these off the market. They're still on the market. He has no plausible deniability. He's seen the evidence. His attorneys have seen the evidence I've given them.
Yeah.
He's seen it.
So what's the comeback? I mean, for somebody like DeSantis, who, again, I've been relatively thankful that for the kind of pushback he's given in certain respects. What's the comeback? What's the response to the evidence that you've submitted to him?
None. Never once. Not so early on with any of these resolutions. They had never responded with any. I sent them evidence last summer. They didn't respond. Sent them evidence again by certified mail in October. They didn't respond. They didn't respond to the demand letters I sent in February. No response. And I can't speak to his motivations. The only thing I can tell you is that these are weapons of mass destruction. They meet the legal criteria of weapons of mass destruction, and he's not enforcing the law, and innocent, unsuspecting Floridians are being murdered as a result. And here's the thing, what I want people to understand too. This is not an attack on anybody that got the shot. So sometimes people get defensive. We're trying to protect you. If you got the shot and you have a damaged immune system, people getting boosted with this mRNA technology is going to harm you more so. Now, my colleague, Dr. Anna Mahalchia, who's one of the world's leading experts on using dark field microscopy to show the self-assembling nanotech in the shots, and she documents the hydrogels and everything. If you look on my Substack and click on my recommendations, you'll see her. Because her name might be harder to spell, but she's there and she's routinely putting out evidence. And so she's been putting out evidence of this self-assembling technology. She's even found, so the embalmer, Richard Hirschman, you probably heard of.
Yep.
He provided her with blood and stuff for her to analyze, and she's analyzed it. And she documents the self-assembly. This is all on video, too. Looking under a microscope with live blood analysis, she's documented the self-assembly in the blood of a cadaver that was eight months old. So, and she specializes in the unvaccinated that are injured from the shedding.
What does that mean? I'm sorry. I am an ignoramus. What did that mean? What was the blood that she saw under the microscope? What was she seeing?
So she does what's called dark field microscopy, literally. So the live blood, and they'll take a drop of your blood and they're looking at it under the slide.
Yep.
Now, she's an MD and her PhD is in pathology. So she's certainly qualified to look through that microscope at microorganism stuff. And she's basically documenting the synthetic biology that's occurring here. And she walks you through the whole thing. She's got a wonderful thing on Rumble. I think it's called Dark Field Microscopy, Crimes Against Humanity. It's a little over a year old. It's about a 58-minute presentation, and everybody should watch that as a primer and then look at some of the other stuff she's put out there, because that shows you how the hydrogels get formed. The self-assembling technology creates these hydrogel mounds, which become these kind of like little construction sites, and they become these blue fibers, which become those biosynthetic blood clots that you're seeing them pull out of people's, you know, 10, 18-inch blood clots. So there's just a lot of evidence. And so basically she's backing up what Karen Kingston's found in the patents and the pharmaceutical documents. She's just doing it, looking at it under the microscope.
Dr. Sansom, what were you like before COVID? You know, I mean, and I asked that sincerely because, like,
that's interesting.
You mean, was I normal?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, before COVID, like, I had a certain level of, capacity or maybe a certain level of, you know, didn't think all these conspiracy theories were true, and then COVID happened.
I'm black. Like, we know better.
But now after COVID,
I got a good tan, so I guess I knew too.
Yeah, exactly. Come on now, Tuskegee Project. Come on, man.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right, and I wonder if they did a study to see how many African Americans took the shots versus not
a lot of them.
A lot of them did, I know, because they might be plugged into CNN, stuff like that. But I know a lot of black people are like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, so I don't know. It'd be interesting. But So my political background in the 90s, like I'm an old Buchanan guy from the 90s. So like we were a world of New World Order stuff like since 1991. So I hadn't been involved with anything politically for like 20, 25 years. Probably in like 2018, a friend of mine wanted me to join the county Republican Party. And I just did it to, you know, be supportive. And next thing you know, I'm walking around and people are wearing face masks and stuff like that. So I knew immediately by, I'd say, late 2019, because when 9/11 hit, it was the far right. I was more in the right, and the left that knew it was all a scam. It was the people in the middle that went along with everything. So when this was coming along, I immediately knew this was the same playbook as 9/11. They want to make the whole country and the world the airport without even knowing all the details. So I was immediately suspicious of that. So kind of, I think with this, it's your prior background. If you got some, just like he just said, you know, I'm black, we're, you know, the Tuskegee experiment. So I think if some people are more caught on quicker, just because they've had prior experience to wake them up to it.
We wear aluminum hats and aluminum, you know, we wear those. And so we just don't trust anybody. So it's not just like it.
Well, I'm thinking, and like, you know, and I'm so like, I mean, we've laughed before about this, because I'm like, I'm probably like, I'm the least, like, so this is really fun. But I also think, listening and talking, like, okay, what is the context in which this is happening? And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what? The clearest things, like, I always want a reason from the clearest.
Right, right.
Yeah.
The clearest thing is that we have butchered 65 million babies.
Right.
In this land.
Right.
In the name of healthcare.
Yep.
Which,
so we got that wrong.
Even though part of me is like, I don't know, like, what do I think about this? Like, we believe in weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
On babies.
In the name of healthcare.
Yeah.
In this land.
And personal freedoms.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, so this, like, as crazy as this might sound, and as insane as this might sound, like, we have to recognize that there have been people in our land fighting tooth and nail for 65 years to keep enshrined in law the right to murder babies.
Right.
And it's like, so like, and health care, you know,
so
in the
it's
name
not a
of
logical
health,
jump.
No, no. So to, like, like, yeah, so like, I'm
to a vaccine.
I'm open.
I don't think you need a tinfoil hat.
Yeah. Right.
You don't need a tinfoil hat.
Right.
If that's been going on and then pull out, what did we do with TSA following 9/11 and the Patriot Act?
Yep. I'm so glad he brought that up.
Anyways, I got to read this ad and then
I got a question.
We'll go.
Yeah.
God, the Father is waiting and looking down the road for all his prodigal sons to return. Will prodigal America return to the Father in repentance, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord? Or will we fall to our own destruction, become a pillar of salt as a memorial for other nations? Join us on Reformation Weekend this year, 2024, October 31st to November 2nd in Fort Worth, Texas, for the annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference. This year's theme, Prodigal America. Where does America need to repent? You'll spend the weekend hearing from Dr. George Grant, Dusty Devers, Steve Dace, James White, Doug Wilson, and us. We'll be there. We'll do a live show.
Oh, there's going to be a debate between me and James White, too.
Apparently.
Yes. The debate is going to be why I will not debate James White. That's
the debate. We're going to be singing psalms. We're going to be feasting on good food. There's going to be beer and psalms the first night, as per our tradition. Go to prodigalamerica.com now. Check it out. Sign up while there's still space. Prodigalamerica.com.
Dr. Joseph, here's my question for you. So I've sure. I listened to Karen, and that show was radical. This whole, since 2020, there's so much unearthed. There's a lot to take in. But I want to talk about tactics, because if this is as bad as what you say it is, and the time period in which the fallout could happen is very quickly, it seems like the legal side of it is not going to have the turnover in time that we need it to have, okay? Let's just assume that for a second. Why spend so much of your time going the legal route instead of going just like, how do we get this out to the people, the masses? Because there's not a mandate currently right now that requires you to get the jab. Why not just say, let's get this as far and broad as possible so people can make their own decisions not to do this? And then as people are trying to come after us for saying that we're saying inappropriate things or the Pfizer or whatever decides to come out, let them come. But let's make sure that we stop the people from getting the jab. Because I'm guessing if you spent hundreds of thousands of dollars already in court, which I'm guessing you probably have in one way or another, couldn't that have grown to a campaign?
I'm pro se.
What's that?
I'm pro se. In other words, I don't have an attorney. I'm doing it myself.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So then, but still, why spend so much time in the court side versus the public side?
I'm doing both. So, I mean, I have, you know, I put stuff out on my Substack, obviously, but, you know, when we passed that first ban to jab resolution in early 2023, in a normal world, that would have went across conservative talk radio across the country as a controversial thing, and people would be talking about it. Mm. What they did, PR Web, PR Newswire, censored our press release. So I want you to think about this. One of your two major parties, county level, still passes a resolution, votes on something, passes it, and they censored it because they said it went against CDC standards. So the only reason that you guys aren't aware of the stuff that I'm telling you right now is because you're a victim of the censorship. Mm. That's the only reason, because this stuff is going on. There are patriots across the country risking life and limb to do this. Now, to answer your larger question, if you look away right now, you are denying Christ. I'm pretty internal with my religion, but that's a fact. This is no different than looking away while they're marching people into the gas chamber. Okay, and so people are dying. Six-year-olds are getting heart conditions. People are getting turbo cancers. They're getting heart attacks, strokes, autoimmune disorders. Do you understand they poisoned 17 million Floridians and 271 million Americans? But again, remember the technology, Pfizer's own documents talk about the shedding. Pfizer's own documents, if you look at them, say, like, if I got the shot and I go home and you're my pregnant wife and you through skin or respiratory contact, she could have a miscarriage. So this is all fact. Now, don't take anything I'm saying as fact. Read the mandamus and look through the evidence. Look through the facts of the case there. But you're asking why. I don't know how you could not be fighting as hard as I am right now. I don't know how not to, because this could potentially lead. Dr. Latipo is saying it's a threat to the human genome itself. Do you understand? This could lead to the extermination, extinction of the human race. We don't know what they put in these shots. We don't know what the next second or third generation, are they all going to be sterile? Are you only going to be allowed to make babies in test tubes? We don't know what they did to the human race.
Well, shedding, that's the problem. The shedding, like, this is one of the things that really concerned me early on, is like, wait a second. So I can make all the decisions I want to make, right, about this, and not get the shot.
And I'll get vaxxed.
Right? Yeah. But then the shedding process, we don't know the effect and how far the shedding takes, you know, because
if it has an impact.
And it may last forever.
Right.
We don't know, because she's found it in a cadaver 8 months old. But I can tell you one thing. Dr. Mahalcha has told me she's had 20-year-old unvaccinated men in her clinic with heart problems because their girlfriend got the shot.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
So now you want to come in with you should get a spaceman suit.
Maybe you should mask up against the vaccinated.
I'm just getting a very, very, very thick aluminum hat.
I don't think you need to be paranoid. I think you just got to look at good detoxing strategies. Dr. Mahalcha, she goes based on what's in the patents and sells on this stuff and what she's seen in her own clinic. She does like chelation therapy with people. And that one video I told you about, she shows you the blood before and after, how it cleans out these little hydrogels and stuff that's in the blood. So there's different things like that you can do to try to keep your blood clean. But you understand, these people are transhumanists. These are sick, twisted billionaires that are experimenting on the human race so they can find a way to live forever and merge with technology.
Yeah.
When do you think it's all going to, I mean, I guess in one sense, I heard you say this earlier, there is details that we don't know about with the vaccine, but there's a lot of that we do. How long do you think it takes? I mean, just looking at the Tuskegee Project, what was it, 34 to 72? And then we end up getting some sort of like a apology or like, yeah, we messed up around that time. How long do you think this one is going to take?
They're already trying to play that game, because I just saw a thing with Chris Cuomo from CNN the other day talking about how these rare vaccine injuries and stuff like that. So, look, they knew, and the reason they're doing that is because it is shifting, because you remember what happened to the reporters in Nazi Germany after the Nuremberg trials. They were prosecuted, and they faced severe justice. And so people are, and that's what we want. We want them to start being like rats jumping ship. But the reality is mortality rates are going to continue to go up. People are going to continue. They've made us sicker. They've made us dumber because we all have cognitive problems because of the nanoweapons breaking a blood-brain barrier. And people are dying, and they're going to continue to die. I don't know how many will be dead in the next decade, but more people are going to get sick and die.
Doc, you got time to stay around for a little bit. We're going to end the show, but I want to talk to you a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
All right. Where can people find out more about what you're doing and your website or just your Substack? What is it?
Yeah, it's josephsansone.substack.com, josephsansone.substack.com. And in my recommendations, you'll see Karen Kingston's and Dr. Anna Mahalchia's Substack there, too. And she puts out videos every day on the stuff she's seeing, and you know.
All right. That's wonderful. If you're single, get married. If you're married, have you some kids. If you have kids, go baptize them. Until tomorrow, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go fight, laugh, and feast. This is Cross Politics.